Hello.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to Dot Grid, a podcast at the intersection of analog and digital. My name is Will Fenge, and I am joined, as I always am, by my co-host and good friend, Mr. Andy Wilfley.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm very good. I'm sneezing.
Yeah, sneezing it. No wife there to take care of you this evening.
That's true. Just me and the cats.
And you're not allergic to cats. You're not allergic to cats, right? That's not why you're sneezing?
I mean, I have a mild allergy to cats, but they've lived with me for a while, so I don't think that's it. I'm not sure what the deal is. I think I'm just allergic to the bachelor life.
Yeah, that I run into the same thing.
By bachelor life, I mean that I sat on the couch and ate instant Thai noodles and watched Adventure Time and drank beer.
Dibs. I'm all over that. When Elizabeth leaves, she makes the joke, because I typically have, I say tacos when she's gone. That's a lie. I actually just make a pound of taco meat and get a bag of the tortilla chips and just eat it out of a bowl.
Oh, you see, what I do is at Safeway, they have those little frozen mini tacos.
That does not sound like they would heat well.
They heat pretty well. And they're about the size of maybe like a couple inches in diameter, and you can eat like 30 of them. Well, I can eat like 30 of them. So just get me like a bowl of sour cream and some salsa and some mini tacos.
That sounds like the bachelor life. Elizabeth says she can just imagine the dogs and I sitting in a line passing the bowl of taco meat back and forth. Also probably watching Adventure Time or some other either animated or comic book related show that I typically wouldn't do. How are things? You've been on a couple trips here recently, huh?
I have. I went to your former town, Portland, Oregon.
I did live outside of Portland, Oregon for a little while. How was that?
It was amazing. There was amazing coffee. I had never heard of coffee on tap before, like cold brew coffee on tap with nitrogen. It tasted like a Guinness, sort of. It was creamy and delicious. So I had that. I went to Powell's, which is like overstimulating and amazing.
It's nirvana if you're into books.
Yeah. So that was amazing. I'm convinced, you know, we did our reading episode, so this could be a good follow-up for that. I'm convinced that the usefulness of independent bookstores nowadays, besides, like, you know, serving up, like, paper space books is, and I hate using this word because it's such a buzzword, but the curation of books. Like,
right.
Powell's had amazing, like, clusters and groupings of books, and they just, like, you know when you go to, like, Barnes & Noble or something like that, and they have staff picks, and it's always really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The whole store was staff picks.
Oh, yeah. Did you make it back to the rare book section where they have some locked behind glass and things like that?
I saw it. I didn't go in, but it looked really cool. They had something called an espresso book machine, which they will, like, take your PDF file and your cover art and print you a book, like, perfect bound and everything. It was really cool.
That seems really neat.
Yeah.
I don't know that they had that when I was there. We used to go there after leaving Living Room Theater, which I should have told you about before you went over there, because it's about two blocks away, and it's one of those great theaters that serves like delicious sort of gourmet snackish food and beer. And when you go into the theaters, it's like couches and armchairs and things like that, and that's where you sit to watch the movies.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It is really great. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. A lot of good movie theaters in Portland. Did you do anything else super exciting while you were there? Well, he asks with a leading question.
It's funny you should ask, Will. I actually got to hang out with a former guest in our show a little bit, Aaron Draplin. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, I was going to ask if it was Chase Nordengren.
It was,
except that it wasn't.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know if maybe he'd got in his car and driven down the interstate. How was hanging out with Aaron Draplin?
It was fun. It was amazing. I just sort of by coincidence saw on Twitter that he was hanging out in Portland and just hanging in a studio, quote, crushing some projects.
That's
so
what it
is. Yeah. Crushes so I tweeted him and I was like, hey, I'm in Portland. This is an awesome city. And he was like, hey, you should stop by the studio. So I emailed him and he sent me the address and I stopped by and we looked at bullet pencils for an hour. It was awesome.
That seems like a pretty cool thing. You are taller than Aaron Draplin. I was imagining that he is like one of the biggest men in the world, and you are bigger than him. taller than.
Well, he also wasn't wearing his hat, which was a little mind blowing because I'm always used to seeing the hat.
Right.
But I definitely earned some coolness cred from some of the designers I work with because I hung out with Aaron Draplin.
That is, as you were telling me the story, I was strongly considering just being like, I'm just going to go to Portland for a week.
Just do it.
Just going to be like, hey, Andy, I know you're going to be there at the end of the month for this conference thing. I'm just going to go and maybe we both go just like crush some beers with Aaron Draplin and go to the bookstore and do other things. And then I realized that because I'm currently self-employed and therefore hustling to make every dollar and make every dollar count once I make it, maybe not the best idea.
Well, just, that's true. Just get a client out in Portland. Have them fly back and forth a couple times.
Yes.
It's as easy as that, right?
Yeah, because hustling up every client I've had so far has just been cake. Just a cakewalk. Super easy.
Sup, Rob?
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. That's where I am now. I left the classroom back in May. You and I talked about this a little bit. I just decided I did not want to be a classroom teacher anymore for one reason or another, and have been both helping my wife run both of her businesses and pouring some time into the business that we share together called Three Small Dogs Creative. So I've been doing some website revamping and some copywriting and some search engine optimization and all sorts of other buzzwords and things like that. So
were you engaging with brands via social media channels?
Via social media. I actually was engaging on behalf of brands via social media channels. That was...
Were you creating delightful experiences?
I was assisting in their curation.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, thanks. There's that buzzword again.
Gotta love the C
word. So that's kind of how I'm spending my days for the time being. Got some other stuff possibly on the horizon, but that's kind of what I'm doing. And that led me to, well, as I've been trying to figure out how I'm going to work my schedule, because to be honest with you, I kind of took the last 3 months off because after having been a teacher for as many years as I was.
Hey, you've been very busy running Tropical Island Government, I believe.
Yes, running that Tropical Island Government into the ground. That's what I've been busy doing for 2 days. It's not easy being a knockoff of Fidel Castro. No, as I've been trying to work out my new schedule and my new routine, the way that I do things, sitting at my desk working on my computer as opposed to being in somebody else's...
Working for the man every night and day?
Yeah, instead of working for the man, or the man's kids, as it were.
Yeah.
I thought that maybe you and I could talk about what a day in the life of work looks like for each of us, because it's a little different for me now than it used to be. You went through a transition, what are we looking at, about 8-9 months ago now?
Yeah, something like that, like 8 months ago.
Yeah, so we can talk a little. I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about what, and obviously you don't want to get into too many specifics as to what it might be like to work at Facebook every day. What with the bar that you walk past and the meals and the barber on campus and things. Maybe we don't get into too many specifics because people will be jealous and all want to move out to San Francisco, thus raising the rent prices even higher. But I thought maybe we could talk about what
you know what gentrification is, don't you? The definition of gentrification.
I used to.
It's everyone who moves somewhere after me. I believe Jake Bilbray taught me that one.
He's becoming our next Harry Marks ding. we have to mention him in every single episode.
I don't have a good bell sound.
No, I don't. I have a nope, that was me hitting a glass and it didn't even ding. We are not good.
Nice. That was my lamp.
Yeah, I could have gone with the lamp. So I thought maybe we could kind of incorporate some of the things we tried to talk about in the sleep episode a little bit. Obviously not a lot of it unless you're sleeping at work, which I don't know. Then maybe they encourage that. Maybe we talk a little bit about some coffee stubs. That sound cool?
Sure. Should we do some FU first though?
Yeah, let's do some follow up here real quick. First thing I wanted to do is thank Dave Ray for sending a couple of dollars our way via the cash.me. What is that called? We're calling that cash tags?
Cash tags, maybe?
Yeah. cash.me/nerduprising. Sent us a couple bucks, which went towards, for now, it actually went towards our new vanity URL, .grid.xyz.
Yes. So, you know, we were ahead of the curve. on that. Days after we registered .grid.xyz, this other little company called Google, I don't know if you've heard of them, switched to a... They kind of rebranded and reorganized, and their parent company, Alphabet, is now abc.xyz.
Ahead of the curve.
So I'll call it now. I think the next new hot TLD will be .marketing.
Met or .coffee.
.coffee. Although
abc.coffee.
I was listening to... Oh, man, who was I listening to who registered .gripe? Oh, it was on Reply All. They registered... something dot gripe, G-R-I-P-E.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
May have to get into that. Well, here we are, trendsetters. We were on Fleek before everybody else was on Fleek.
It's true.
And we have an XYZ domain. Yeah. Show notes for this episode, by the way, Andy Welfley, should you want to go back and refresh your memory about some of the things we talk about, will be at .grid.xyz/14.
Did you figure out how to do the forward...
That's my plan for tomorrow.
Oh, right.
Figure out. Well, I think it's just going to be a huge pain to do it every time. But for our listeners and their ease, and so that Dave Ray can feel like his money went towards the right things, then, you know, we spent $1 on the domain and I spent the other $4 on beer. Just like I told him I would.
I'll have you know that I spent my very own money out of my personal pocket on this Sierra Nevada Summerfest that I'm drinking.
Well, I spent Dave Ray's money on the six-pack that I picked out for myself at Kroger, which is typically not that great of a deal, but there's a bunch... I mean, $9.99 for a six-pack is not a wonderful deal. Yeah. But I look at the beers, and I don't want to buy a whole sixer of it anyway. Let's talk more about follow-up.
All right.
So Ann Sipe got in touch with us via first she left a comment on the blog, and then since then we've been in touch on Facebook, had some questions regarding some of the things we talked about in our hoarding episode back on episode 13, which was a good one. We got a lot of good positive feedback for that one. I was happy that everybody else was happy.
Do you mean read this?
I can read it. I'll go ahead.
You go ahead.
And Sipe, these are the dulcet tones of my voice. This is just for you. I actually wasn't going to read it. I was going to summarize it.
Oh, that's fine too.
She goes through to call us whippersnappers in there at least once, and I didn't want to put us through that again. She's a bit of a computer hoarder. Been using computers for a long time since DOS was around, which I remember DOS. White text, black background. It's what I had to look at before I got into Windows 3.11
or 2 or something like that.
3 point something. Anyway, she's been using computers for a long time, keeps them, has a lot of files, does kind of the same thing that you do, and seems to hold on to a lot of files, whether she's using them or not, just in case.
Yeah.
She's got some on.
You never know.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. she's got several terabyte backup external disks, some stuff on her desktop and her laptop, some stuff on flash drives, and she was wondering if either you or I had some file comparison or organization software recommendations that had, you know, a good interface and finds duplicates and figures out where they are and has some good information on what those files actually contain, some of the metadata and things, so you know you're not deleting a file that is unique and you are deleting a duplicate. I have not used anything like that because I, as you and I have discussed, don't hold on to many digital things for very long. Most of the time that's my fault, but sometimes things just delete. Do you go looking after duplicates?
Sometimes. First, I would like to back up for a second and congratulate her on using some curse words from Dune. I believe that is where the word Freling comes from.
I believe it does, too. So,
is that Dune?
I don't know. Dune. You talk about duplicate software. I can Google that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I use something. I have something called Clean My Mac 3, which does a lot of cleaning out of, like, old system preferences and... system junk, iPhoto junk, iTunes stuff, large and old files that you just haven't accessed for a while. I honestly don't know if it does dupes. You found something the other day to show me.
Yeah, it was the Mac equivalent of Windows directory statistics.
Yeah.
That I was using because I couldn't figure out why on this 128 gigabyte hard drive I only had like 13 gigabytes free, even though we know how much time I spend deleting things and then reinstalling them. And do you remember where 40 of those 128 gigs were?
No. Oh, and no, I don't remember.
Warcraft.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft. Had it downloaded. Thought I was gonna play it. Played it once. I don't need the angry emails. You just didn't take the time. You don't get it. It's not for me. Oh. I don't know. What's going on with you? Yeah, you're a janky robot.
Yep, you sound better now.
No, you sound better now too.
I wonder, was anybody using the internet at your house?
Elizabeth always uses the internet.
Okay.
Maybe it was just her getting started on something.
Could be.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah. So, real-time follow-up. Freling is from Farscape.
I know. I'm looking at that page right now.
Okay. So, my stupid Adobe Audition, which I use to edit the Erasable podcast and also record the track from my track from this podcast uses every once in a while I have to dump like these conformed file folders that it forms that take up maybe like 12 to 20 gigabytes, which is not fun per.
That's a lot of space.
Yeah. I have no idea why. When I delete it, it's mostly when I do like a multi-track session, I think it saves a backup of each little like piece of soundbite that I put in there. So once I kind of mix everything down and export it, I just delete the old conform files and I'm fine. But yeah, I don't really use software for duplicates.
You know what frightens me now when I look at the remaining drive space on this is even after I deleted Warcraft, because I am now using a time machine, not an actual time machine, gosh darn it.
Well, yeah.
But an Apple time machine that I got at the Goodwill for $20. Now that I'm using that, the backups show up as space that is taken up on my hard drive, even though it's not space that's actually taken up on this hard drive. It's a long and complicated. I'm sure there are multiple KBase articles around it.
Oh, probably.
But needless to say, A, I'm backing things up on site and off site now. Look at me, the guy that doesn't care, backing things up. And also, when I look at the drive space, it just says there's 40 different things on there. So,
yeah.
Or 40 different gigabytes that are taken up. So. But anyway, that's some follow-up and some follow-up within some follow-up with the Freling and the Farscape and the things like that. Do you want to move on to our topic du jour for the day?
Yeah, work. Workity work.
Work. Work and work. You actually have, I'm guessing, some semblance of a real schedule. Do you get up at a particular time to go to work every day?
Yeah, in the morning I'm not my brightest, let's say. I just don't think maybe the most critically in the world. So I really need some kind of a schedule in the morning, typically. I really have to like have a little ritual or something where I don't really have to think about what I'm doing. So I get up probably around 6:45, somewhere between there and 7. Take a shower, put on my clothes, feed the cats, do all that, and go to work. Catch the train. This is all pre-coffee, by the way.
Oh, yeah. What?
Yeah. So I just don't like have the bandwidth to just like make coffee for myself at home, especially because I know once I get to work, there will be unlimited free coffee.
Do you ever get the impression or the sensation that maybe during that time before you've had coffee that you could either kill someone or perhaps have and just don't remember it?
Well, that's the thing is I don't really, I mean, sometimes I guess when I'm waiting for the train, I encounter people, but I get up pretty consistently before my wife does. So I just have no human contact, which is probably a good thing. Just cats, cat contact.
Yeah. Which can be both warming.
Yeah.
And also very, I don't, yeah. So I can, I don't walk, know, cats.
I can
cats.
Walk to the train station. I can like listen to my podcasts on the way. I don't really have to talk to anybody. And then when I get to work, I can pour the coffee and just sort of like officially start my day.
Yeah, I'm the complete opposite. I get up. Well, actually, before I even get, I'm doing like phone stuff before I get out of bed. Do you do phone stuff in bed, or are you alarm off, feet on the floor?
I'll check all of my various like notifications that have put themselves on my home screen, on my lock screen. So I'll generally like all of my friends on the East Coast / Standard Time, Eastern Time / Standard Time, will have like begun a conversation with me. I'm talking to you, Will Fangy.
How are your friends on the East Coast?
So there's some topics that have been started, which it seems like everybody knows that I probably won't respond until like, you know, 10 o'clock their time. So I'll look at that. I'll think about what I'm going to say in the shower. If there's any important email, something like that, I'll look at that before I get out of bed. But generally I'm not like doing work triage stuff right in bed.
Okay. I check my Facebook feed and my Instagram feed, and depending on how far I got in Twitter, I will either try to get caught up, or more than likely I'll just open Tweetbot and hit the title bar and just read back for an hour or so worth of tweets.
Are you a Twitter completionist?
I am sometimes. Especially now that I could never do it during the school year because I was always like, now the way that I'm doing it is I can keep Tweetbot open and kind of check in periodically and just read them in spurts. But when I was at school, I think I tried for the first month and a half to read 23 hours worth of Twitter at once.
Yeah.
I would sit on the couch at night and do that, but it typically took about like an hour to do so. Yeah. And I try not to do that anymore. And we've talked about the app before. I'm using Nuzzle a lot more now to try to keep up with articles or links that I may want to see or may have missed.
Yeah.
But I, like you, figure it'll make it back around to me. I'm also using RSS to keep up with that stuff. But I'll do a little bit of Twitter, a little bit of Instagram, a little bit of Facebook.
I just follow too many people to be a completionist. And also, if I have something to say back to them and it's like over a couple hours old, I'm like, well, too late. I don't want to.
Yeah, it feels weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being on the West Coast, if anybody on the East Coast says something that you want to respond to, you're like, oh, I'm just getting out of bed. And they probably would realize that. But
you never know.
Maybe they've tweeted since then, and unless they have really good, you know, unless they have a good conversation stream going, you're like, will they even know what tweet I'm replying to?
Right.
Exactly. I have that fear sometimes. I have, instead of social anxiety, I think I have social media anxiety.
That's a thing.
And what if I'm not doing this the right way?
Yeah.
I would never survive as a teenager today.
Oh, God, no. That'd be the worst. Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
We couldn't post our stupid pictures to the internet very easily.
The actual internet.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could, you know, take a shot with your camera and then develop a picture and then scan it in and then put it on AOL. And that would take forever to upload, or email it to somebody, maybe.
I could look at it in my Netscape browser.
Yeah, yeah.
Which would be awesome. I actually do all of that before. I only do that before coffee, and then
tell me about your coffee workflow.
Well, I stumble out to my kitchen typically. I wait until my wife starts. I don't always wait until she starts to move around. Typically, I'm up and moving before she is, and I'll come out and thank goodness for the hot water pot we have, because I am. I'm all AeroPress first thing in the morning now because I have really dark roast coffee, and I can't do dark roast coffee in the drip coffee maker.
No, just better with AeroPress. You're like, what does Mike Hurley call it? His fussy coffee?
Fussy coffee, yeah. I'm all fussy coffee now. So I'll get up and typically grind enough beans to make two cups and turn the hot water pot on, and then I will do my first cup of coffee through the AeroPress conveniently. Now it's much easier for me to, I was going to say count, but now I don't have to count. And we've talked about this a little bit before. I use my my app to time things and have recipes for my AeroPress. I know you laugh,
such a hipster.
It makes my life so much easier first thing in the morning. I can get up and I can just pull up a recipe and go, all right, I need the coffee ground coarse. I need a scoop and a half. I'll just hit start, and it'll be like, all right, pour this much water, and it'll give me the timer, and it'll ding, and then it'll tell me, you know, to stir or wait or steep or whatever, and it'll walk me through all of the processes, and all I need to do is look at the white text on the bright colors and listen for the funny noises, and I can make my own cup of coffee.
Yes, you too. I can make your own coffee at home. Did I tell the world about my new hot pot? I can't remember.
No, I know you told me. We've talked about it a little bit, and it's mind-blowing, right?
So I I bought a new hot pot on Overstock, and it has special pre-settings for water temperatures. So it has one for green tea, one for white tea, one for black tea, one for French press. And, you know, it's like the optimum of 175, 185, 200, etc. Or just straight ahead, just straight up boil. It actually makes a huge difference because I feel like I was brewing my AeroPress too hot before, because I don't have the patience to let it boil and then let it cool down a little bit. So if I just set it to like 175, is that it? Is that the...
Yeah, 170, 175.
Yeah, so I just, you know, heat the water to that temperature and just use that, and it just tastes so much smoother. It's amazing. Like, and I'm not just, I feel like if I was presented coffee brewed with boiling water and coffee brewed with 175 water in like a blind taste test, I feel like I would instantly know the difference.
It's scorched almost.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste right. My brother thought that I was being super, super fussy when he was here, because I will every once in a while, just to recalibrate my expectations, I have one of those candy thermometers that you can stick in hot water to gauge the temperature. It only goes up to about 220 or 225. I got that with the homebrew kit that I got for Christmas from my wonderful mother-in-law. And every once in a while, I will I put it back in there just to kind of gauge what noises the hot water pot makes when it's at about 175. I'll pour myself a cup of coffee. Typically I'll start the day with about two cups. I can't do much more than that to kind of get myself going, but I have found that if I have two cups, it conveniently functions a lot like ADD medicine. And it allows me to focus a little bit more. Do you take advantage of that free unlimited coffee at work?
I do. I'm pretty embarrassed to say how much coffee I generally drink a day. Probably about, like, I would say like four cups.
Oh, okay, as long as you're still measuring it in cups and not pots.
Oh yeah, well, it all just magically appears in like those big air pots. So I wouldn't even know how many pots, but like four like it'd probably be the equivalent of like a tall or a grande at Starbucks worth of coffee. So generally, that's about how much. And then maybe I'll have like an iced tea for lunch. And that's about as much caffeine as I can handle.
I got to stop at about 2:30 or 3 o'clock. We had root beer with dinner tonight. So I'm having a regular beer to kind of take the edge off of that. And I may have an extra little bit of Ambien tonight, because the caffeine and the Ambien, they fight. But the Ambien always wins. Ambien always wins. But I, like you, before I start working in the morning, need to have some cup of coffee, and I need to have some time to sort of adjust and acclimate.
Well, and I know we'll talk about meetings later, but sometimes when I have a bunch of meetings, like, I really need to be chatty, and I feel like coffee is how I get myself to be chatty. And I realize, I mean, it's a chemical addiction. It's slightly healthier than nicotine and meth, you know,
right?
But yeah, it's definitely a useful tool. And I luckily, a while ago, I sort of like got myself off of like sugar and cream in my coffee, because I got really tired of like every time you go to a breakfast joint and the waitress or the server comes around and pours a little bit more into your cup, thereby throwing off your ratio.
Messes up the mix, man.
I just got tired of that, so I was like, you know what? Fuck it, I'm just going to drink, like, black coffee. And, so I got myself on black coffee that way.
And I do sugar. I don't do the creamer anymore. I can only do sugar, but yeah. I'm still doing, I was going to say a healthy amount of sugar. It's not, I don't mean that in that it's helping my heart or, you know, internal processes. No, by that I mean it's a great deal of sugar. We just have a sugar pourer thing. It's an old vintage sugar thing, and I just hold it upside down and count to five.
That works.
It might be a tablespoon. It might be seven tablespoons. I don't know.
It's five.
If I put too much sugar in there,
how much sugar do you want? Five.
Yeah, just five. Five sugar.
Yep.
Five sugar. How long is your commute in the morning? How long does it take you to work?
Generally between as long as nobody has tried to commit suicide via Caltrain, which sometimes happens.
They do that in the mornings too?
Yeah, mostly in the mornings. It actually was a weird, like, pretty disturbing rash of deaths the beginning of 2015. But it hasn't happened for a long time, so knock on wood.
We had a delay recording the podcast more than once, unfortunately.
Yeah, so knock on wood, it's not a thing anymore. But It takes me between 45 minutes and an hour generally. I'm lucky in that I don't have to deal with car traffic. Sort of at the end. There's a shuttle that picks me up from the Caltrain station to take me to work. And I mean, that drives in traffic, but it's not highway traffic, which is really what's insane in the mornings.
You don't have to drive the shuttle though, right?
No.
That's good. You guys don't like take turns?
I just put on my podcasts and close my eyes and let it happen. Just let it wash over me.
Yeah, I guess that is the one thing I miss about having a commute, because I definitely don't miss it taking me an hour to get to work, an hour to get home from work. I used to listen to considerably more podcasts, and now my only podcast time is either when I make it, which I'm learning that I can do other things while I listen to podcasts, which has always been a struggle for me. But there are some podcasts that I can listen to, like the Fine Erasable podcast, that I don't have to.
Fine publication.
It's a wonderful audio publication. Digital audio publication.
Digital online audio publication.
On the inter-Googles. I found that I can typically keep up with the three of you and not have to give you 110% of my attention at all times. And if I do hear something that piques my interest, I can, you know, rewind it.
That's true.
But unless I'm mowing the yard or making time for it, I just don't listen to as many podcasts as I used to. They used to be my commute thing.
Yeah.
You know, because at an hour, I can knock out a podcast on the way there, a podcast on the way home. And I was, you know, struggling to find enough. And now let's not even talk about what podcast inbox zero would take. Let's not even talk about how long I would have to sit.
It was always my commute / mowing the lawn / doing dishes thing, podcasts.
Yes,
But now I have no dishwasher. Lawn. Now I have a dishwasher, and my commute's different. So pretty much now it's just my commute thing.
Yeah, we bought a Bluetooth speaker, which I'm really happy with. That has really improved things for me. As long as I'm sitting within about 5 or 6 feet of it, I'm okay.
Yeah.
If I'm more than about 6 or 7 feet away, audio quality starts to cut a little bit, but that's all right. I tell you, I use it. 95% of its use is when I'm in the shower.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm doing podcasts while I'm in the shower now, like Merlin Mann and Brett Terpstra.
Oh yeah,
taking the longer showers, listening to podcasts
Merlin Mann has a whole ritual down.
Whole showering ritual.
It's definitely. I'm pretty sure Merlin Mann's shower ritual is the reason California has a drought. You heard it here first, guys.
Yep, that's accusations. All sorts of accusations.
No, I'm not saying Merlin Mann is wasting all the water, but I've heard about his shower ritual on Back to Work.
Go ahead.
No, it's he does a lot of, like, you know, gets the bathroom all steamy, and so he can, like, get his whiskers all soft so he can shave them easily. It's a whole thing.
Oh, see, you people in your shaving. just grow a beard like the rest of us.
Well, my beard makes me look like, I don't know, like crackhead, so it doesn't.
Right, like someone who has gone scratching at their face and therefore is missing patches of hair.
Yeah, that's what my beard looks like. It's pretty bad.
Well, then don't disgrace the rest of us with beards with that shitty makeshift whatever it is. You keep that beard to yourself.
I will indeed. I'll keep that beard on the inside.
Brought to you this week by Dollar Shave Club. Harry's. Is that the other one?
Yeah.
Harry's is the other one.
We like the blade so much that we bought the factory.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. I don't work at Harry's.
So,
I work at home.
Should we talk about our workday stuff?
Yeah, workday stuff. Do you have a typical workday?
I would say day-to-day, most of my days are different, but week-to-week, it's generally the same. Like, I have a lot of, like, weekly meetings that we have and things that I try to get done and stuff like that. So, I have, a bunch of meetings on Monday and Tuesday. Wednesdays are generally kind of, we try to do no meetings on Wednesdays. So, if people have a long commute, they can just either stay at home, work from home, or just otherwise, like, have a day to actually, like, get stuff done.
Right.
So, I don't know if other companies do that. I would assume that they do, but, yeah, no meeting Wednesdays are pretty sacred where I work. Yeah.
And then Thursdays and Fridays are no holds bar again?
Just general. Yeah, just for some reason, Mondays and Tuesdays are like the meeting heavy days of the week. So I generally have some swaths of time where I can work on Fridays or Thursdays and Fridays. How about you? I'm curious, when you worked at a school, like, did you have meetings besides sort of like that one big meeting with all of your kids?
And my role was a little different because I was not only an English teacher, I was also the gifted education coordinator at both of the schools at which I worked. And in the state of Tennessee, gifted education falls underneath the special education umbrella. So the kids with the well below average IQs and the kids with the well above average IQs have some of the same considerations as far as special, I hate to call it special treatment.
Yeah.
Are you familiar? Probably not. You're probably not familiar with an individualized education program. It's called an IEP.
I have my mother-in-law is a teacher, and I definitely have heard her talk about it.
It's the paperwork that is filled out, at least in this state, on an annual basis in a meeting with the parent and the teacher and the special education coordinator of whatever kind is necessary, and often some representative from the school. And those happen to happen annually, and through some stroke of luck or another, all of mine apparently happen on like the first week of the month every month. Ew. So they were all stacked up, and I would often spend either an hour before school, an hour after school, or my planning period in those types of meetings. Ew. Which I had a good rapport with the parents of my students, so those meetings didn't typically last an entire hour, and sometimes they would just say, no, I don't need to come in for this, you can just send the paperwork home after the rest of the team talks about it, and if I approve it, I'll sign and send it back. So I used to have a lot of those, and then, you know, we talk about things like professional development and monthly faculty meetings, and yeah, there's I had some meetings. I still have meetings now. Elizabeth and I, you know, we meet with clients on a semi-regular basis because she's still running all the design stuff and all the rental stuff. And so often she'll go to meet with brides or photographers or planners or things like that. And I'll go and nod and drink coffee. So I'm there.
Look important.
Yeah. Well, I have a beard. I was going to say I have a mustache, but that doesn't help. You know, I have a beard and glasses. I look important.
You're just rubbing it in is what you're doing now.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's true.
Just rubbing your beard in.
Rubbing my beard in right now. Just, I was going to do the Aaron Draplin thing where I rubbed it on the screen here, but I chose not to.
I appreciate that. Do you take notes at those meetings?
Like notes that matter, or does it appear as though I am taking notes?
Do you have some method of writing down to-dos or trying to remember things from various meetings that you attend?
I do. I have found that if I use some type of digital device to do it, be that typing directly on my iPhone, which people still frown upon. Apparently they think I'm texting, or typing it into a computer, as the case may be, I don't have the retention necessary, nor do I have the ability to do that and maintain a conversation. But I have found with my remarkably sloppy handwriting that I can take analog notes, typically with a pen or a pencil and not my own blood, to be able to keep up with those things. I was a real big fan of not steno pads, but like the big legal pads for a while. I used to carry one of those on a clipboard just with me through the hallways.
Oh, yeah. That, you look real important. And like the general you, one looks real important when they have a writing tablet with them.
Oh, I started carrying one of those clipboards that actually is a container, and you can flip it open, and other places to keep paperwork and things like that inside.
Documents with you.
Oh yeah, I used to carry one of those around with the steno writing whatever pad on top. I looked super important. Now I use whatever lovely notebook I have sitting around. I have a Baron Fig Confidant, and I have these lovely new notebooks from Appointed, you were also sent one.
Yes, indeed.
Courtesy of what is apparently the luckiest guy on Instagram. Thank you very much.
Can you get them to send me a tech dop kit, too?
That's not them. That's somebody else.
Well, no, of course it's somebody else.
This is ground, but I'll see what I can do. I know them now. We're all buddy buddy. So I'm either using the Baron-Fig Confidant or typically some field notes, because I always have my field notes in my back pocket. I know that you carry your computer into meetings because you and I have had conversations while you've been in meetings.
Oh, yeah. there are a lot of meetings that I attend that I don't necessarily. I'm not necessarily there to participate. I'm either there to listen or sync, as we call it. I just need to know like what's going on around me, because I don't know if you've ever noticed, but there's a lot of stuff that Facebook does. And often when there's like crossover or similar things, there's a lot of like,
Things that are out of sync.
Yeah, things that are out of sync, and you have to kind of talk to people to make sure that, hey, I'm going to be doing this thing. Don't do this other thing that conflicts with that or something.
Can we talk about sync for a second? Is that a corporate secret? Are we allowed to?
I don't think we should talk about that.
What are you talking about? Sync. Why do we call it sync?
Well, just like personal syncing. Like, oh, hey, you're the person for it. The content strategist for events. I'm doing this thing that uses events. I need to talk to you to understand like how you do that. So we have synced.
Oh, well, it makes, now that you explain it like that, is the term like makes much more sense.
Yeah, it's not like a product that like we don't work on a product.
I know better than to ask product questions on a podcast. No, I thought that was a unique thing. I didn't know if it was like synced with a capital S.
It's probably
it was like
just
a corporate term.
No. It's probably just a meeting buzzword, I guess. Yeah. Well, and I never know like what is like specifically Facebook talk and what is just like tech company talk. I try not to say things like, what are some of the stupid ones? Like, oh, let's open the kimono, because that's just like disturbing.
Whoa.
Yeah. Do you ever heard that before?
No, you know, when you're not to hear it again.
Oh God, it's the worst. Whenever like, you know, you're being transparent about what you're doing, you know, you open the kimono. It has some like weird like Japanese like geisha. You know,
I don't want to have any idea what's
worst.
Behind that
yeah.
kimono.
No, it's the worst.
Not at all.
Sue, I don't even remember what I was talking about. Meetings.
You were talking about meetings.
Yeah, so like every single person has a laptop, and if it's a meeting where maybe somebody's presenting, it's considered like, you know, good etiquette to close your laptop. Some people do, some people don't.
Do you close your laptop?
I generally, if it's something that warrants closing one's laptop, I do. And I generally, if it's something like that, if that's the case, I'll generally take notes in my Baron-Fig Confidant. I started keeping one with some to-dos and some just like general areas for notes. By the way, speaking of that, let's get off on a really quick notebook tangent.
Let's do that.
At Powell's, I found, you know the brand Leuchtturm?
I am familiar with them. Leuchtturm 1917, right?
They make a little $3 thing that is a elastic pen loop or pencil loop, because it's thin enough, attached to like an adhesive, and you can just stick it to the back cover of your notebook if it doesn't come with a pen loop, and boom, instant pen loop.
Wow.
Yeah, I've never seen it before. It's so simple yet so useful. So my Baron-Fig Confidant now has a pencil loop in it.
And it's Leuchtturm, which is a reputable name.
It is,
so
yeah.
Hopefully it's not just going to crap out on you after 2 months.
When I go back to Portland, I think I'm going to pick up several of those babies, because they are useful.
Well, good. I'm glad that's working out. So those of you that are interested in those kind of things, I will, for you, our lovely listeners, attempt to Google and see if there's another place to purchase that.
Don't strain yourself.
I won't Google it. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not a Googler. I'm a DuckDuckGoer.
A DuckDuckGoer.
I am. I'm a DuckDuckGoer. So I will DuckDuckGo that for you.
DuckerDuckerGoer.
Duck 10-4-9er. I'll check on that and see if I can find a link to that on the Amazon or something. But that's cool. So you're taking notes in your Baron-Fig Confidant.
Yep. And
I'm sorry. Was your tangent done?
Oh yeah, that was totally done. So backslash. No, forward slash and tangent.
Forward slash.
So anyhow, So, yeah, I'll take notes via analog sometimes, but if my laptop's open because we need to look something up while we're doing it, I might as well just do it in there. So I generally just type into, like, Ulysses or something if that's the case. Or if it's or maybe I just, you know, talk to you.
Yeah, you just send it to me, and then later on you're like, hey, what was that thing I was talking to you about at 12 o'clock? And I was like, I don't remember. And you're like, no, check the 2 o'clock timestamp. And I'm like, oh, right, time changes. Oh, you funny, you funny time zone calendar things.
Yeah. Speaking of calendars.
Speaking of calendars.
That was a good segue.
Thank you. My goal for this evening was no awkward segues. Unfortunately, I have failed.
Yeah.
Are you guys on an exchange server there?
I don't know. You know, our meetings get so complicated because, you know, there's so many that happen every day, and you not only have to, you know, count on the busy schedules of each of the person in there, but you have to count on, probably well over 1,000 conference rooms on our campus. I don't know that for sure, but like, that sounds about right. So you have to take that into account. You have to take into account what campus, you know, sometimes I need to have a meeting with somebody in New York. You have to count on their time zone and their calendar and a conference room there. You have to make sure that if you're doing that, the conference rooms have video conferencing capabilities, because most do, but some don't. You have to count on, sometimes, let's say I have a meeting and I sit in, like, you know, on the east side of the building, and I'm meeting with somebody in the middle of the building. I need to give special treatment to a conference room that's somewhere between us, because my building is so big that, like, legitimately takes 10 minutes to walk from one end to the other, or 20 minutes to get to the other campus. So it's insanely complicated to schedule meetings. And so I believe there are some homebrew systems at work there, which I can't even begin to know how or when they were built. But, it's pretty, like, pretty crazy, like, how these meetings are scheduled and where they're scheduled.
I just go to Starbucks.
Yeah. Hey, that works too. Yeah,
no, so we got some good coffee shops. I do that. But Elizabeth is very, very good at scheduling those things and getting them, like, arranged with clients and things like that. And now that I have her default calendar on her iPhone set to a calendar that is shared between the two of us, we conveniently have an Umbrella Corporation calendar on which everything shows up. And then I can move it to the family calendar if need. Like, the dog's haircuts don't need to be on the Umbrella Corporation calendar.
Why not? It seems like you could just expense it then.
Well, if that's all it takes is putting it on the business calendar,
then, do it.
You know, no, Mumford's a paid employee. Of course he gets his haircut comped. and that used to be a Google calendar. She used to have her Google calendar and I had mine. But more and more, as I am falling into the ecosystem, there's another buzzword for you, that Apple wants me to be in, I find that I am using iCloud calendars more and more often, just because they integrate so seamlessly.
And it's fast.
It is. She will enter something in the couch on the other room on her phone, and the little pop-up notification will show up on my computer less than 5 seconds after she enters in the date, which is nice. And then if I need to move it around, I can just pop up in BusyCal and click and drag and move it. I got BusyCal as part of – did you see that Stack Social deal that was going a couple weeks ago? May still be going right now. It was like BusyCal and Rapid Weaver 6 and I don't know, a couple other things. I think I paid $5.17 for a copy of BusyCal and like 7 other things.
You know, I actually had BusyCal back in, I want to say like 2007. I was working at a small office and we needed something to just like, you know, sync across like our calendars. And we all had Macs. And at that point, I don't think that Exchange was supported for Mac at all. Nobody had smartphones. We got BusyCal, and that worked. It was not cheap. It was like $50 per license. Yeah.
But that's what it is.
But it worked. Yeah.
I really like it. It probably still looks the same as it did in 2007, which I'm fine with. Ideally, I would be using Fantastical for $5, but Fantastical would like $50 for their app, and I'm sure it's very much worth it. I just, as we talked about in the Setting Up a New Mac episode, that if I was to buy all of the apps that I wanted, I should essentially just buy another computer or pay someone to write an app for me.
Yeah.
That may have actually been less expensive. So, yeah, I got a copy of BusyCal for like $5. I really like it. It does a few more things with iCloud calendars than it does with Google calendars. I'm not necessarily trying to move everything away from Google or anything like that. Still have the Gmail address, but I don't know. I've been liking iCloud calendars. They've been syncing. I haven't had any issues with it.
I use Fantastical. That's what I've been using lately on, not on Mac, cause it's like you said, $50, but I have it on iOS and it's great. I use it. Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. And I have to admit, out of all of like the default Mac apps, I think Calendars is one of like the best.
Not really?
Default Mac. Default Mac apps, OS X apps. I use just the default calendar app on my computer.
It is nicely mirrored to the iOS app. They look very similar. Yeah. So if you understand how to use one, you understand how to use the other one.
Yeah. But I mostly just use my calendar app on my phone because I sometimes have to look up what conference room I'm going to while I'm like traveling, or while I'm like on the road going from my desk to whatever the conference room is. So I generally use that on mobile. So I'll use Fantastical for that.
Yeah, I have Fantastical on mobile too. I've messed around with Sunrise a little bit. I really like of the integrations that Sunrise has.
Sunrise is nice.
I've used it on both the Mac and on iOS. I like it, but I found that now that I'm on BusyCal that I can use Fantastical and their natural language parsing just about all the time on my phone, and it works out really well. What other Mac apps are you using what other apps in general are you using on a day-to-day basis? What would you say is essential for your daily workflow?
I generally am using Ulysses, as we have talked about before, to just like just type stuff. I'm using Facebook Messenger.
And Facebook. The one with the gold icon, probably.
Well, one of the fancy Facebook Messengers.
Right.
Let's see, what else am I using? I actually just started using, thanks to the recommendation of a friend of mine, Annotate.
Yeah.
Which is instead of Sketch, which is also a fantastic app. I do a lot of like, I'll get like a mock from a designer and I just need to make annotations to it and say, hey, we should use these words, or this should be capitalized, or we need another line of text here, or something like that. Annotate works great for that. I use that. That is what, like $3 on the Mac OS X store?
Yeah, it was like two or three, and I'm the one who recommended it to you.
You are. That's true. It was you.
And I really, really like it. It's not that I had anything against Sketch. I find Annotate to be a little bit quicker, and I don't have to like log in with my Evernote and worry about it syncing and what's it gonna do. And I don't like the iOS version of Annotate as much.
Yeah.
I still use Sketch on iOS, but I really like the version on the Mac. And as you and I discovered, I think last week, you can also record a screencast as a really poor quality GIF to share with someone.
Apparently so.
The resolution is very bad, but it's workable.
I use Airmail for my mail. Airmail 2, in fact.
Can I just say that you've got me on Airmail now that we're trading recommendations back and forth? I'm using the Airmail beta because it's free. And
Airmail's really great. I like have you been using the markdown feature?
No, because I have not been writing as many emails. I'm doing a little bit more of the using my email inbox as a to-do list kind of thing, namely because as Elizabeth is trusting me more and more with business-oriented things, because, you know, she's been running both of these on her own for 3 years now. As she's trusting me with more and more business things, she is just forwarding me emails. And so if there are certain things that I need to take care of, like last week we were finishing up her design website, and as she was getting the text for her testimonials or pulling thumbnails that she wanted to have for particular galleries and things like that, she would just send them over to me via email because she doesn't necessarily want to use iMessage or Facebook Messenger or anything to do that. She would rather use email. She's more comfortable with that.
She's one of those.
Yeah, she is. So she sends it over to me, and for a while I was using Mailbox because, you know, Mailbox is that very convenient. When you archive it, it's got that check mark, and it functions a lot like a to-do list.
Yeah.
But I pulled Airmail back up because I found it to be better on the eyes. I feel like there's too much white space in Mailbox on OS X. but I really, really like airmail. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was just saying that you mentioned airmail as we were going through some of our apps on one of our many previous episodes, and that was what kind of caught my attention, and I really like it. So, I said, the beta's out there.
Yeah, I would switch back to Mailbox if they supported Exchange, which our email is through, but they don't. So,
well, there you go.
Poo on them. And then are you still sparking? Doesn't that sound like we're talking about weed?
Lighting it up.
sparking it up.
I am. That's current. Well, I've been back and forth. Like I said, I was doing Mailbox on both for a while because that's the best way to incorporate.
Timer sync that way.
Yeah, the timer sync, and there's also a really convenient, if you swipe it, there's an option on the picker to say on desktop or on mobile, depending on where you are.
Yes.
And the next time you look at it on the opposite platform, it'll pop up.
God, I miss that so much.
Which is really cool.
I was really good at keeping my inbox down.
Yeah, I am really good at keeping my inbox down because I don't get many emails. So that's the easy way. Between that and have I talked to you about unroll.me?
Yeah, I've used it. You know, that doesn't really actually unsubscribe you from those, right?
No, what's it do?
It kind of acts as a like an inbox go between and just like takes them out.
Oh, it just sends them directly to the archive?
Something like that, yeah.
And doesn't put them in the summary that I get every morning? That's okay with me. As long as it, because, and that's one of the big things, that's one of the big problems I have with the Mailbox notifications is Mailbox will notify me every time I get an email. So I got my suit for my wedding from J.Crew, and so I'm on their mailing list because that was how we corresponded, was via email.
Yeah.
So with Mailbox, I would get a notification that I got an email from the J.Crew mailing list, and then before I could even turn my screen off, the notification would be gone because the email had already been archived by Unroll Me. So that's why I really like the smart notifications with Spark.
Yeah.
Because then I don't have to be notified for every single email because I'm not that important, Andy Welfley. I don't need to know, but there's about three people that would email me that I want to hear from. And one of them is typically either in the same room or at the very least in the same home as me. And the other one is Mumford.
Yes.
And then the third one is the job stuff that I'm still waiting to hear back on. But other than that, I'm not really that important. Do you get a lot of email?
Well, yes, but don't let that make it seem like I'm important.
Do you have people at your work that have the carbon copy problem?
Well, yeah, there is a reply all problem. There's a lot of like task systems, you know, that we don't use Basecamp or Slack or anything, but there's some task-based systems we use that sends email notifications, which I generally like, you know, weed out and ignore, but it still comes through. So I would say, and then also I just have like, because I'm a compulsive, you know, signer-upper, I definitely get a lot of like email from startups or something like, hey, we noticed you haven't logged in for a while. Is there anything I can help you with? Thanks, Dave, the CEO. You know, that kind of
like,
thing.
Like, thanks, Dave. Yeah. I appreciate the fact that you care.
Thanks,
that
no, thanks,
I'm not
Dave.
Using garbage.io recently.
Yeah. Trashday.co.
Trashday.co. That's what I was looking for.
Yep. I've been getting a lot from something. I don't even remember signing up for it because everything has stupid names, called Quiller. Quiller.
It looks like someone just slammed their forehead under the keyboard, and that's what they
have
the
name
of the company. Where should we call the company? I don't know. Ask Freddie. He just had dental work done. Sounds great. How do you spell that? Wonderful. Book it. I'm on my way to Florida, and then and the meeting was over. That was a Friday meeting for sure.
Good. So So the stuff like that. Yeah, a lot of email. The only one I definitely check most of the things that come to me is my wood clinched email, just because sometimes it's people trying to give me free stuff. So.
Well, yeah, that's important to check in on the free things. I email you at your personal domain email address.
Yeah, that works too.
It's easier for me to remember. Does that all forward to one Google inbox?
No. I have separate boxes, but just one universal like inbox on the client.
Oh, that's fancy. All of my I could have a separate. I could have separate email addresses set up because it dawned on me the other day that. Because we pay for Elizabeth's hosting for the Stockroom Vintage site, I'm not just paying for that one domain. Like, I could host more things on there.
Hell yeah.
And all of that could come along with email addresses.
Yeah.
Now that Google Apps is not free anymore.
I luckily got in with WoodClinch to my personal domain before that was the case. So I'm
right.
I have been grandfathered in, and I'm so glad. But sometimes, man, sometimes I just want to have a, you know, a Andy.Gripes email address.
I know. Well, the stockroomvintage.com is in.
Yeah.
The newer stuff, her design website and our three small dog stuff and the Nerd Uprising stuff, as a matter of fact, is all auto-forward. So if you email us and you don't get an email back from Andy at nerduprising.co or Will at nerduprising.co, that's why. because the owners of the business, the three of us, cheapskates too cheap to spring for individualized email addresses. Darn it, just email me at my Gmail address. I do want to address one thing before I talk about the end of your day, and this is follow-up in addition to work stuff.
Yes.
What are you doing for to-dos now, Andy Welfley? It's been a couple months.
Yeah, I feel like every time we talk about it, it's changed. One of my friends, my internet friends, who shall remain nameless, convinced me to keep both a paper and an online to-do. Or not online, but digital to-do. So I am using Things and my Baron Fig.
What?
Here's the thing. It's kind of like the whole, field notes mantra. I'm not writing it down to remember it later. I'm writing it down to remember it now. Kind of the process of transcribing it from one to the other helps me kind of like solidify it and remember it a little bit more. So
is that part of your routine in the mornings or in the afternoons or anything?
Yeah, just kind of along the way, like mornings/afternoons. I'll generally either have my notebook with me or my computer with me, one of the two. And then if neither of them, I have my phone with me, which has Things on it, which will sync. So I generally have both of those, and it's useful. And then of course, sometimes it'll fall out of sync, and I just have to like make sure I look at both of the lists for the day. But it's I don't know. It's definitely, I feel like my to-dos have been really cyclical. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm really committed to Things. I'm going to write all my things in Things, and it's going to be awesome. And then I do that for like a month, and then I like let something slip, or I'm going on vacation. I'm like, I'm not writing that down. And then it just kind of all goes to hell.
Yeah.
And same thing with writing on paper. I'm like, yeah, I have everything right here in this notebook. It's so awesome. And then I leave the notebook at home. And then what use is it?
Right. So, and that's the problem. Do you juggle more than one field notes at once or more than one notebook at once?
I generally have my field notes for just like, you know, quick stuff or generally it's like podcast planning or just like short notes.
You plan podcasts?
Yeah. Just this thing that I thought might help. No, you hey dude, you plan more than I do.
I do. I'm the one who writes the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. So
with the fancy check boxes on them. Thanks, Quip.
Yay, Quip. I use Quip a lot during the day.
Use Quip at work?
I use Quip at work. I think, don't quote me on this, I think Quip was founded by somebody who used to work at Facebook.
I think we've talked about that, you okay. And I personally.
I should look that up, I can't remember. Oh well.
If not, that's a rumor that's being perpetrated by one Jake Bilbray, so we just go with that.
Who needs to verify things?
He knows everything about the internet.
Take my word for it, yeah.
Yeah.
God, you want somebody with a lot of domains.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Jake has all of the domains.
All of them. He actually owns abc.xyz. Cashed in big last week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's living on an island now.
Yeah.
He bought a razor blade factory in Germany.
So you've got the field notes in your pocket. You got the Baron Fig that you're carrying around. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, the field notes is mostly just for either like podcast episode notes or just like quick entry stuff or on the fly stuff. But the Baron Fig is kind of like my work journal. And then, Things is pretty much just for that stuff too. So, and I don't really keep like a personal to-do list, which I probably should, but I don't. So screw all y'all.
Yeah.
Haters gonna hate. You know what they say?
That's a thing that the kids are saying.
It's true. How about you? How are you to-doing or Tedonting, as it may be.
Tedonting, as it were. Well, I do about 95% of things that would be considered payable, billable work sitting here at my desk. Mm-hmm. So I have on either side of me, on my left side, my Hobonichi is opened to the day. And typically I sit down once a week and write down anything that we have on the calendar on its respective day, like the haircuts for the dogs are on for tomorrow and the doctor's appointments we have on Thursday are on there. But if we have meetings with clients, I put those in there as well, because in here I criticize your double to-do list, but I actually have like a double calendar kind of thing. And then I also have a field notes open on my right with what is now a Palomino HB. The lacquer on these is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
So great. So I have a Palomino HB and the
field notes. The blue one or the orange
one? The orange one.
Oh, yeah.
I've not used the blue one.
Oh, the blue ones are nice.
So I have to keep that open right here, along with a stack of note cards, which is another reason I was asking you about note cards earlier this week. Because a lot of times, in addition to emailing me, or instead of emailing me, my lovely wife will either stick her head in this room or, here's a southern word, holler at me from another room that there is something that she would like for me to take care of, or something she would like to defer to me.
Holla. And
if I'm Twittering or chatting with you, or running a small island nation into the ground, I need to write these things down, because otherwise I won't remember them. So I have that open. That is not to be confused with the field notes that stays in my back pocket in case I need to write things down while I am out, which I've got of the field notes I'm talking about that's over here on my right. I have 3 in circulation right now. Oh, why? Wow. I don't know. Just because I get a new one and I'm like, ooh, I want to use this. And then I'm like, oh, I want to use another one. And I often make it about 7 pages past the staple, and I'm like, it's time to use another one.
I definitely acquire field notes much faster than I use them, which is becoming a little dangerous. And now, I think I can talk about this. And now I just took a notebook making class at work. We have that we have that analog lab, and my entire world has been opened up.
It's a whole new world.
A whole new world.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
So at Facebook, they have the Analog Lab, which I believe we talked about before. If not, you can Google it. And they taught us all how to use the paper folder and the guillotine, which is the big thing that cuts paper, or fingers or whatever, what have you.
It's a French revolutionary.
Yeah, and a saddle stitcher, which is basically like a stapler on a stand. And then we have a corner press machine that, you know, rounds your corners. So
round your corners.
Yeah. So I believe for maybe for Christmas or something, my friends and loved ones are going to get completely sourced from scratch pocket notebooks. So
sounds awesome.
We'll see how that goes.
No, you were the one who sent me the link to the Kickstarter of the people that are doing the custom printed covers for notebooks.
Oh, the book stack? No. Wait.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll go back and look through our notes and put a link to that in the show notes as well, cuz that's
Yeah, we talked about them on Erasable a little bit. They're basically Book Block, that's what it's called.
Book Block.
I believe, so we're recording Monday night. I believe they're actually launching tomorrow on Tuesday. So it's probably a couple days ago by the time you're listening to this. They're taking Monsieur Notebooks.
Monsieur?
They're made in the UK, at least the company's in the UK. And they have figured out how to do like cheap one-off printing. And I believe they're offering custom elastic bands and ribbons. And so you can basically do just like a one-off notebook with whatever fancy graphics you want on the cover, which
I thought about getting a couple of those for myself with some of the maybe some of the Nerd Uprising or Dockered logo stuff on it. So yeah, the book block may have a potential customer on their hands. Like I said, I'll put a link to that in the show notes if that sounds like something.
If you want, I'll just do one with my avatar on it, and you can use it. Just have my face.
Which avatar though? Which of your avatar? Can I get one where the spine of the book splits the picture of you and Aaron Draplin so that, like, you're on the front cover and Aaron Draplin's on the back cover?
Sure, we can do it like that.
That sounds amazing. That won't haunt my dreams at all.
I was just thinking the one with me holding the pencil up to my nose like a mustache.
Yes.
The usual.
Yeah, just, you know, the picture of Andy Welfley.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that for to-dos. I'm also still messing around with plain text stuff just because I can't quit you. I can't quit is Sublime Text. Somebody give me a reason to use Sublime Text that's not to-dos, please. I've told you I've considered trying to teach myself HTML and CSS just so I can, A, not have to deal with some of the, hassle that our current web space provider.
This episode brought to you by Squarespace.
Right now, I was trying not to go there, just in case. It's great until you really want to fine tune and tweak things, and yeah. then if you're too scared like me to turn on the developer platform, then you're kind of stuck with the way things are. Yeah. But so I'm thinking about doing that with Sublime Text. But somebody else out there in listener land, give me a reason to use Sublime Text that's not. That's not my own to-do list, and maybe I can finally quit plain text to-do lists and move on to one of the other many to-do applications that I own.
I'm sure that Jake will give you plenty of reasons to use Sublime Text.
Immediately upon listening to this podcast, I will get messages either via Slack or via Facebook Messenger that have no context whatsoever, except, like, he'll just send me something that just says, like, .js.
Yes.
And I'll be like, oh, Jake is telling me to do JavaScript in Sublime Text.
Then I'll, like, you know, fire off like a Merlin Mann quote, Tourette style.
And then he will show me the websites that he has built using JavaScript and other things.
Jake.javascript.
Jake.billbraid.javascript.take.com/4-8.
Yep.
Niner. Do you take your work home?
I try not to, but sometimes I do. I just kind of depending on if I have meetings, I'll leave early or leave late. But if I leave early, I'll generally still do some work at home. And if things come up, you know, if I didn't do something right, or that never happens though.
It doesn't happen though. Never, so this never. Is entirely a hypothetical situation.
You know, if I didn't provide somebody with all the information they need, or if I didn't do something right or whatever, I'll like respond at home. I don't know. I feel like I have a pretty good work-life balance. I feel like a lot of the people within, like, at least my department have a pretty good work-life balance. I'll do that, but I'm not going to be, like, up till midnight, generally, unless it's, like, some sort of an emergency, which so far hasn't happened, knock on wood.
That's good. You know what makes balancing work life and home life rather difficult?
Having your work and your home in the same place.
Literally working less than 10 feet from every other room in your house and only, well, really I'm more about 20 feet away from all the snacks.
I was going to ask you, do you take your home to work with you?
Do I take my home to? I do, actually. Well, typically my home follows me into work. I am surprised, actually, that I have been recording this podcast for now north of an hour and the...
No pants.
Well, that's a given. I work at home. No, the door between the office and the living room is open, and the dogs have not come tumbling through here fighting. Because inevitably, whenever someone is on the phone, when someone is or I am on the microphone for some reason, every single time, the dogs will come through here and fight. I think it's because we were out at a photo shoot today, and they probably got all of their fighting and running taken care of before we got back. But yeah, that's inevitable. And I have recently discovered how awesome the slow-mo video is on my iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
So every time they fight, I want to turn around and record it because it looks amazing.
And then play like the, what is it, Carmina Burana music behind it.
It's like a really bad episode of Sopranos, but much furrier.
Yeah.
So I want to turn around and do that. And
I take slow-mo videos of my cats like grooming each other, and then like you just want to put like some 70s like porn music to it because it's just so gross.
There are so many lewd jokes in there. I'm just gonna.
You're better than this.
We're grown-ups. Gosh darn it. We have reputations to uphold.
Clearly I am upholding that reputation very well by talking about all this on this podcast.
Well, nobody listens to this.
Nobody's listens.
So nobody makes it an hour and 13 minutes into our recordings, Andy Welfley. So yeah, it's a little difficult to balance it out sometimes because, you know, I'll want to take a break for lunch and watch something on Netflix, and inevitably whatever I pick to watch on Netflix will last 45 minutes and then it'll automatically bleed into the next one. I'll be like, I can watch another one. And then it's like 4:30 and I'm like, that's the last time I can take a 4.5 hour lunch break. Napping is just, it rears its ugly head on a regular basis.
Oh man, I'm so jealous.
Elizabeth can work from the bed. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I cannot. I can't get productive work done while I am horizontal like that. I just don't I don't get it. But I try to my hard part is getting started in the mornings. If I can get started on work in the mornings, I'm good for a while. But once I'm done for the day, I'm done. When I was teaching, I used to tell my parents at the meetings I had with them that I was available to them 16 hours a day, and that was because I had to sleep the other eight. And I was pretty good about answering emails from students or instant messages on the classroom management system that we used or whatever the case may be. I was typically pretty available to my students. Parents, a little less.
Yeah.
People worked with, I can take care of that in the morning. There is nothing so urgent that it cannot wait until 7:15 tomorrow morning.
That's generally the way I try to think about it. I'm not in charge of any like mission critical systems. Like if I'm not paying attention, you know, Facebook isn't going to go down. That's not my, I mean, there are people whose job that is, and I do not envy them that job.
No.
They're probably several pay grades above me, which they deserve it. Mm-hmm. But I am all right with just waiting until the next day to respond to something. If it's late enough, if I'm in bed, I reserve that time for looking at the internet or reading. I've sort of accidentally stayed up and read an entire novel last night, which wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, that's what you told me. Do you want to tell me what that is again so I can put a link to that in the show notes and maybe we can sell ourselves a copy and make 4 cents?
Yeah, it was. So there's an author named Ernest Cline who wrote Ready Player One a few years ago, which they're turning into a major motion picture. It's a pretty good, like... I feel like it is written for young gamer kids, maybe in their late teens, early 20s, but it's still a good read for me. It's kind of like a fast-paced kind of coming-of-age story with, like, speculative technology. That was Ready Player One. I've read that before not too long ago, but his new novel, Armada, came out, and I read that. It goes very quickly, and he also does that thing which... people like J.K. Rowling and Dan Brown know how to do, which is end a chapter on sort of like a cliffhanger. So you're just like, oh, I'll just read the next chapter, and then I'll go to bed.
Yes.
And then you look up, and it's 2 a.m, and you are finished with the book, and your eyes hurt.
Mm-hmm. I read Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince in 8 hours.
The trouble is like, I don't remember that book now because I read it really quickly, and... Someday I
and in
to go
less
back.
Than ideal in less than ideal situation.
Yeah,
like less than ideal circumstances. Do you read in bed typically at night?
Yeah, I generally try to. I have cycles. Sometimes if I have a good book that I'm reading, I'll do that. But if I don't, I'll just look at the internet.
Blue light's gonna get you, sir.
Oh no, it's true. My Kindle does not have a blue light. It has the e-ink display, and it doesn't have the backlight. So I definitely have to use a lamp for that. But no, seriously, I'm going to be blind someday because the blue light.
Yeah, you're going to be blind and you're not going to be able to sleep. You're going to be blind, you're going to sleep for like 2 hours a day. So enjoy that, you yes. and your blue light.
Yes.
What the
heck is wrong with my Quip avatar? What is that?
That is you making an amazed face.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I'm putting a picture of that in the show notes, too. I'm going to use Annotate to take a screenshot of that right now. You're welcome, Dot Grid listeners.
Dunzo.
So we got a...
What time do you usually go to bed?
Ideally?
Ideally, realistically.
Ideally, I try to go to bed... I try to be in bed by about 10 o'clock, and then... once I get into bed, again, ideally, I have switched over to the Kindle and away from my phone or the MacBook or what have you. Now, the problem is yesterday I played Tropico 4 until the battery on the MacBook died and it got so hot that it was going to scald my legs. Yeah. And then I walked out here and plugged it in and was like, I'll just do some stuff on my phone for a minute, and started playing Kingdom Rush and didn't go to bed until 1:30. But ideally I'm trying to be in bed by 9:30 or 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Obviously not this evening, but I try to go to bed by 9:30, 10 o'clock and take my pill and then read on the Kindle, because I'm still strongly considering doing that Periscope cast, or the Paracast as I'm calling it, about sleep. Because I'm all about some sleep. Research and into it. And I don't know. I'm constantly. That's my holy grail, is the perfect night's sleep.
Yeah.
So I'm tracking things and I'm researching things and things like that. So I know better than to use my phone in bed, Andy Wellfley. So I typically take my Ambien and read on the Kindle until Elizabeth gets so upset with me that she turns my light off for me. Well, I will have conversations with her after I've taken my pill that I don't remember.
Yep.
Apparently, I pretended to be the mayor of Louisville, Kentucky for about 30 minutes the other night. Remember none of it. Super fun.
Well,
she was like, remember last night when you were talking about me and the mayor of Louisville? And I was like, no. I do not remember that.
Tell me more about it. Can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah, do we need to pause?
No, that's fine.
We'll share with everyone.
Let's keep rolling. Do you wear a slumber mask?
I have started. Okay, so I've had one for a while because I wanted to address this. I kept trying to figure out how we were going to get into it, but now I can. Elizabeth,
it's not a question one dude usually asks another dude.
Right.
It's not a bro question.
No, not typically. But we're not bros. We're buddies.
Yeah. Bros disclose.
There you go. I feel like I've heard that somewhere before.
It's Silicon Valley.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
So betrayed. Anyway, sleep masks. Sleep masks. Elizabeth typically stays up later than I do. She will Pinterest until she falls asleep, which is fine, but she leaves her light on, and being in search of that perfect night's sleep, I don't like a whole lot of light. So I did invest in a better than average, like not just the one you pick up in the aisle at Bed Bath and Beyond, but I invested in one of the ones that has like the cutout so your eyelashes don't have it, and the nose molder thing, and I have used it off and on, but I'm starting to use it.
Does it look like a tiny bra to you? Katie calls it my eye bra.
Maybe. I'm not going to be able to see that by looking at it.
Dude, I think we have the same sleep mask. I think we're sleep mask buddies.
We're sleep mask bros. That's great. I'll take a photo of that and send it to you later. That's not going to go in the show notes. But I've taken to now wearing it. Even if I wake up in the night, I will put it on because I'm already sleepy enough to where it won't disturb my sleep at all. And I have found myself sleeping much better because the sun rises into our bedroom.
Ooh, yeah.
So if I don't have it on, the light will naturally wake me up the way it's supposed to at about 6 or 6:30, and I'm not down with that. Homie does not play that. Or at the very least, it will disrupt my sleep. So I've been wearing it from the middle of the night until I wake up, as opposed to from when I go to bed till it pisses me off in the middle of the night. But yes, I do wear a sleep mask on a semi-regular basis. It helps me sleep. Has nothing to do with work except for the fact that maybe I produce higher quality work when I get more sleep. But there it is. I wear one. Are you nightly with the sleep mask?
I cannot sleep without it.
Do you and Katie go to bed at the same time? Is that also a personal question?
Sometimes. Usually. It used to be in my old job. I worked 4 days a week, 10 hours a day, and I would be at work at 6:30 in the morning, and therefore have to go to bed like at 8:30 or 9.
Right, because you have a minimum amount of hours that you want to sleep.
Yeah, and Katie does not go to bed that early. So generally, yeah, we both like wrap up the day and try to go to bed by 10-ish, 11-ish.
That's good.
Yeah.
Which is convenient for me because typically that's approximately the time that I'm going to bed.
Yeah, and It's useful.
It works out now that I don't have a regular schedule of any kind whatsoever. It's you and I actually start talking to each other about the same time that we wake up every day. It just because we're 2 hours apart means absolutely nothing.
Just tell people that you're on West Coast time for your clients or something.
I'm on time of the West Coast. There you go. There's your second one for the I have a minimum amount of sleep I need to get. I wear the sleep mask. I know that someone asked us when we were talking about doing a sleep episode, what do we do when your significant other comes to bed a few hours after you've gone to bed? And typically what I do is apologize profusely because it's always me and not her. But I've also probably, you know, reek of booze and have a super hoarse voice because I've been out with people for a while. I don't do that very often anymore. I'm too old for that shit, Andy Wilfling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
I don't go out and do things anymore. I don't have any friends that aren't on the internet.
Yeah, just make all your friends on the internet so you just get sore thumbs instead of hoarse voices.
Yeah. So why? What am I doing with my thumbs?
You're texting.
Oh, not in bed. Not with my phone. I'm not.
Oh, that's true. How are you doing it then?
That's a really personal question.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I got talents.
And dexterity.
It's not my nose. We should probably wrap up some here.
That's a really good idea for the sake of everybody and common
before
decency.
Before this becomes dot grid after dark.
Oh, God.
I promise it's just been the one beer, sir. If people wanted to get in touch with you on the internet, Andy Wellfleet, what's the best way to do that?
Oh, man, I don't even know. A Wellfley on Twitter, AWELF as in Frank, as in fun, LE. Or you can, I don't know. You can email me, andy@woodclinch.com.
That'll work.
How about you?
If you want to get in touch with me on the internet, I am on Twitter @WillFengi, WILLF as in Frank, or fun, or freaky, ANGUY. Or I am will@nerduprising.co. That's the best way to get in touch with us. We also have a Twitter account for the podcast. If you want to give us podcast-related feedback, that's @.gridpodcast on Twitter. If you were to enjoy the wonderful dulcet tones of our voices that have fallen upon your ears for the last hour and would like to reward us, reward our bad behavior with a couple of dollars, we do have...
I don't know why anybody would want to reward us for and just encourage this.
Let me just go ahead and tell you that the episode where we drank beers was a lot better than the episode a couple weeks ago where we didn't. So if you want to give us beer money and keep the fun going, you can go to cash.me/$nerduprising. There'll be a link to that in the show notes. Send us dollars, just a couple dollars. I promise, Andy, I will share it with you, and you can go out and buy, I don't know, how much is a tall boy in San Francisco, like $17?
Something like that. I think it depends on, you know, what climate you're buying it in.
Yeah, what part of town you're hanging out in. Because I'm guessing the PBR is a lot cheaper in some parts of town than it is in the others.
It's Sapporo all the way. Sapporo.
Yeah?
Yeah, because that's the cheap thing. That and Pacifico, those are the cheap beers to get.
Your imports are cheap?
Pacifico?
Pacifico's an import. It's Mexican.
Yeah, but it's like, it's so cheap.
It's Mexican Bud Light.
That's true. Sorry.
That's okay. So send us a couple dollars, buy us some beers. If you've got any feedback, we want to hear from you. Let us know about the things you like. Be kind if you tell us about things that you don't like. If we've never heard from you before and you've decided that you've listened this long and you just absolutely hate us, I would love to get some hate mail.
Hate mail would be fun.
Fire. Don't send us hate mail, please. Andy Wellfley, thank you for doing the Nerd Uprising version of How I Work.
We should do it again.
We should sit down and do this again here in a couple weeks. What do you think?
Sounds good.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
See ya.